Would you all please join me in a spirit of prayer as we get ready to begin? Loving God, guide our thoughts and words today. You are the potter, we are the clay. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So everyone has a mission. The Holy Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, has a mission for all of us. A mission that we are called to and a mission that the Holy Spirit will equip us to be able to live out. And sometimes that mission is not what we would expect. So let me share a few stories with you, two from some people who I think are real heroes in the Christian faith. Actually, I should say all three of these people are heroes in the Christian faith. Two of them are widely known, one of them not so much. But there was a man named Oscar who was a priest in El Salvador. He had a reputation as a scholar. He had a reputation for being a very good secretary. He did not have a reputation for being particularly outspoken or particularly brave or anything like that. In the 1970s, his country was in crisis. There was great violence within his country. People were trying to advocate for more rights for people who were poor. And unfortunately, the government and some extra-governmental organizations didn't want things to change because they were getting quite rich the way they were, thank you. And they were torturing and they were killing some of the people that were speaking up for human rights. Now, Oscar, this mild-mannered man, was made the archbishop of his nation, in part because everyone assumed he wouldn't do anything. But he knew that Christ came to bring good news to the poor and to release to the captives and the recovery of sight to the blind. And so for several years, he spoke out forcefully, saying, no, we cannot have a country where people are being tortured. We cannot have a country where people are thrown in jail with no trial. We cannot have a country where there is this violence and this oppression and where people are suffering. And he spoke out with great courage and great bravery, and he knew what he was doing was dangerous. And he went and talked to the Pope, and he spoke out to people in the United States. He said, please help our country. Sadly, this hero of the Christian faith, Oscar Romero, after giving a sermon at a chapel in a cancer hospital in his homeland, a gunman burst through the back door and shot him through the heart as he stood by the altar after his sermon. He died, but his mission and his words lived on. He is still considered a hero in his homeland, and what he worked for has paid great fruits for Christians all over the world as they look to his writings and his example, even though he's been dead now for more than 38 years. Let me tell you a story of another woman, or of a woman from our own country. Her name was Mary. She was the 15th of 17 children born to her parents, who were both former slaves living in South Carolina in the late 19th century. No one in her family knew how to read. One day, while her mother was delivering laundry, that was part of the ways that her mother was able to try to help feed their family by doing laundry for people, young Mary came in contact with a little white girl who said, well, you'll never know how to read. Well, Mary decided that right then and there, she wanted to work very, very hard to make sure she did learn how to read. She was able to go to a small school in her hometown. She learned to read and write, and she was so dedicated that she was able to win a scholarship and go to college. She believed that her mission in life was to be a missionary, to go be outside the United States and spread the good news of Jesus Christ. But she was told that there was no need for black missionaries. So instead, she became a teacher. She realized that there was a great need for schools for poor children. So in Daytona Beach, Florida, in 1902, she opened up a school for little girls, a school that taught academics and taught a rigorous discipleship in Jesus Christ. The school had six desks made from old crates, and it was right next to the town dump. And one of the main ways that the school was able to support itself in the early years was by making things, food and drink, and selling it to the workers at the town dump. Within 30 years, that little schoolhouse had turned into a four-year university, in part with the help of the Methodist Church, I might add. This woman, Mary McLeod Bethune, Her mission was to educate people, in academics and to educate people in discipleship of Jesus Christ. And her life changed the lives of thousands. No one would have thought that this little girl from this incredibly poor family, none of whom knew how to read, would become one of the most important educators in the southern United States in the first half of the 20th century. But you know what? Sometimes God's got a mission for you, and it's not what we would expect. And then let me share a final story of someone I know personally. His name is James. James, by his own admission, did not make the best decisions from the first half of his life. He hurt some people. He hurt some people in his family. He admitted he had a temper and had a little bit of a tendency to swear. I'm sure that's never happened to any of us. But James eventually realized that his life was not on a good track. He got sober, and he's been sober for many years. He found a relationship with Jesus Christ, and he was asked by the people in his church to start working with a youth group. And then he was asked by the young woman who is the head of the youth group to please come and be a volunteer camp counselor for 1 week one summer. Well, that week at camp changed his life. For the past several years, he's now been a full-time worker at one of the United Methodist camps in Southern Illinois. And he works with kids, and he works with plumbing, and he works with electricity, and he fixes, patches roofs, and he does all the things around the camp that need to happen so that the ministry of the camp, the life-changing ministry of the camp, with people young and old, can continue and be ongoing. James is an inspiration. James always says, as soon as to everyone in the morning, "I love you." And James is inspiring to all of us who know him. And some people might say, well, this guy, he's kind of got some rough edges. He can't be someone that God's going to use, right? Wrong. Because Jesus has a mission for all of us. And if we are truly living out the mission that Jesus has for us, the Holy Spirit will give us what we need to live out that mission. Our story for today is about two men living out their mission. Now, we met one of these guys last week. His name was Saul. By the end of the 13th chapter of Acts, I think he was finally starting to be called Paul, but he's still Saul now. We met Saul last week, and we're going to get to know Saul better in the weeks ahead. Saul was from a city named Tarsus. Saul believed it was his mission to stamp out the teachings of Jesus Christ until he had a dramatic vision of Jesus Christ on the road to the city of Damascus in Syria. He was struck blind by his vision. Then he was healed by a man named Ananias, and his life changed. He went from a persecutor of Christianity to one of the greatest champions and preachers of Christianity there has ever been. Well, the story that Amy read happened a few years later. Saul had, after preaching and teaching in Damascus, returned to his home city of Tarsus, and we think he was preaching and teaching there. And as it shows on the cover of our bulletin today, he might have been working in the family business, which was sewing and making tents. We're not really sure. But in his preaching that he'd done earlier, he had met a man named Barnabas. Now, Barnabas was sent by the apostles of Jesus from Jerusalem to a city called Antioch. At that time, Antioch was one of the most important cities on earth. It might have had 300,000 or 400,000 people. It was probably the second or third biggest city in the Roman Empire and one of the biggest cities in the world. Christians had started to form a church there, and Barnabas was sent there to help that church get going. But Barnabas thought, hey, I know this guy Saul, and he lives in Tarsus, and that's not that far away. So Barnabas went to Tarsus and convinced Saul to come with him to Antioch. And they and some others worked to build up that church, and the church in Antioch grew. And they were doing good work, and in fact, the church in Antioch was the first place that people were ever called Christians. But the people in the church of Antioch were open to the fact that even when you're doing good things, God still might have something else that needs doing. So in a time of prayer and fasting, the Holy Spirit put it upon the leaders of the church in Antioch, Saul and Barnabas. I keep wanting to call him Paul, but he's not quite there yet. Saul and Barnabas are being called to a new mission, a unique mission. You need to lay hands on them. You need to pray over them. And you need to send them out because they're going to do something important. Now, what they were being called to do was to go on a missionary journey. Now, there had been Christians before then who had shared the good news of Jesus with other people. But Saul and Barnabas were going to go further into more places than most of those first missionaries had gone. And here was the big thing. They weren't just going to be going to people who were Jewish. They were going to be sharing the good news with Gentiles, with non-Jews. And this was to be the beginning of something that would change Christianity forever and might have led directly to many of us actually hearing the good news of Jesus Christ. And so they went. They traveled across a short distance of the Mediterranean Sea to the big island of Cyprus. And they traveled across the island of Cyprus from one end to the other, over the mountains in the middle of the island, preaching and teaching about Jesus. And then when they got to the west end of Cyprus, they got in another boat and took it north and landed in what's now southern Turkey. And then they traveled into the interior of what's now Turkey, visiting places, bringing Jesus' good news to new people, sharing it with people regardless of their ethnic background. It wasn't just for Jews. It was for Jews and Gentiles and everyone. They were called to something radically new. They were doing good work in Antioch, but God said, I know that you have got the skills and I can equip you to do something new. It's not just good that you're doing something good. I can show you how you can do something even better. So what do we learn from this story? Well, first off, we should learn everybody's got a mission. Now, I can't promise you your mission's going to take you 1,000 miles from home. Sometimes a person's mission takes them to the elementary school to be a kindergarten class grandma for many years. Your mission might make the front pages, or it might only be known by a few people. That doesn't make it any less important, no matter how many people know about it. The point is, your mission, if you truly live into your mission from the Holy Spirit, it will change lives. It will change your life, and it will help you change the lives of others for the better. And sometimes we don't know our mission. Do you notice that Paul and Barnabas here had the people from their church, the leaders from their church, the prophets from their church, receive a vision from the Holy Spirit to share with them? Sometimes we may not realize what our true mission is. You remember that story I told of James? James was invited to become a youth worker, was invited to come to camp. Some other people saw some gifts he didn't realize he had, and it ended up changing his life and the lives of many others. And we should remember that that's sometimes how it works. Sometimes it's the loving people around us that help point us to our mission. And finally, I would say, your mission isn't always the same at every stage of your life. Paul, Saul, and Barnabas were great partners in mission, but they wouldn't be partners forever. There would be a time later when Saul would have other partners that he would go out and preach and teach with, and he would found churches with, and Barnabas would go and preach and teach with other people as well. They wouldn't have the mission that would unite them together for the rest of their lives, but the important thing is that they found what the new mission was, and they went out, and they served Jesus Christ, and they shared the love of Christ. So I have a question for all of you today. Do you know what your mission is? If you already know what your mission is, may you live it out with excellence. And may you prayerfully consider what could help you live it out with excellence. Is there some training, or is there some other tool that would equip you to do your mission even better? But maybe you don't know what your mission is. Or maybe you're at a time when one mission's ending and you haven't found the next one yet. So I ask you to prayerfully seek God's guidance to see what your mission is. What are you being called to that will bless others and will bless you as well? And then my second question for you is there anyone in your life who you see that God is calling to something? Is there anyone in your life that you think, this person is being equipped by God to go and do this important thing? And if you see that in someone that you love, can you share that with them? Sometimes people you wouldn't expect are the person who can point you to your mission. I wasn't really sure I was going to become a pastor, but I had this friend named Anna. Anna didn't go to church. Anna still doesn't go to church. Her church got ripped apart because of a political struggle within it and also because of some really nasty gossip. And she and the dozens of youth in that youth group left church, and I don't think there's a single one of them that's ever started going to church again. But boy, Anna was awful convinced that I needed to become a pastor. And you know what? Her words, years later, were one of those kicks in the butt where I realized, oh, maybe sometimes God is speaking through people and pointing you towards what your true mission is, even when you don't expect it. So can you speak to someone that you love and say, this might be your mission at this time in life? Because it might be that you're the person the Holy Spirit is going to use to point them in the direction that God wants them to go. We all have a mission. A mission to share the love of Jesus Christ in many, many ways. May we find our mission. May we help each other find our mission. And may we live it out in Jesus' name. Amen.